So Anne is going to come and read our Bible reading to us, and then Glyn, as you've just heard, will come and speak.
The reading is from the first chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, beginning at the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, not of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We're starting today at one of our mini-series, which, if you've got one of these green cards, you will have noticed, talking about the names that are applied to Jesus. And today, we're talking about the first word of all, capital W, as I'll be talking about later. Then, lion or lamb, Mr. J. Christ, an ordinary guy, not just an ordinary guy, typical sermon headings that our vicar loves to give to us to provoke us on these different issues. So we're talking today about Jesus. We're talking about the Word. John, whose gospel we're looking at today, was, of course, one of the very early disciples. He was one of those that Jesus met as he walked around the Lake of Galilee. He was a fisherman. And when you think of the words that we've just read, I constantly stand back in awe and think, how come a fisherman wrote those words that we're going to look at a little bit more? He was the brother of James. He was the very centre of Jesus' ministry. Wherever we look in the life of Jesus, Peter and John's name are constantly there. He was right there. He knew exactly what he was talking about. And in fact, in the very last verse of the passage we've just looked at, he talks about we. You know, I was there. We were involved. And also in the scripture, we read that almost certainly it's John as the one who Jesus loved. So we're dealing here with somebody who really knew what he was talking about. It's the last gospel, and it's one that's a little different to the others. One of the commentators said it's more mystery than history. And when you look at the passage we've just read, you can see that. Great mystery, great depth is in there. It's about life. Christ comes to give fuller, more abundant life to men, says John. It's about light, and we're going to stray into that this morning. He is light in the world, overcoming darkness. And again, we're going to look at that. Overcoming darkness. We've had reference already this morning to the deep pit that people often feel they're in. Jesus came to overcome darkness. The light overcomes darkness. And then life, sacrifice of life for the world. Jesus was an expression of love. So there's the background. Let's go to verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. I've put those W's in capitals because it isn't just a little word, W-O-R-D. It's the Word. And again, we're talking about a fisherman writing this. The Word was with God, the Word was God. He, we're talking about a word, but now we're into He, was with God in the beginning. And then in the last verse that we looked at, it all comes out. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The Word was Jesus. And what we have in the Bible is this interposing. The Word, we don't think of it in terms of being people. The Word to us is a word, it's a letter, or whatever it may be. But in Scripture, when Jesus was being tempted, do you remember? And the devil said, come on, turn these stones into bread. Jesus said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's the Word that has the impact. Do you notice that? The Word, it's not God, it's the Word of God. Back in Psalms, we have this quite a few times. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. The word of the Lord. Their starry host by the breath of his mouth. The word is a very powerful. He sends his word and melts ice. He stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. He sends his word. We don't think in those terms, do we? The word is a book, it's a paper. But God sends his word and melts the ice. Again in Psalms, he sent forth his word and he healed. He rescued them from the grave. His word is very much, in Scripture, a person. Now, when we look at John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, it's very difficult not to think of another verse in the Bible that rings all sorts of bells. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. I just want us to dwell on this for a moment. We tend, with our human minds, to say God. God was the creator. He was there at the beginning. And then, well, years later, Jesus came because there was the man in the mess that he was. Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus rose. Jesus saved. He's the Savior. And then, a few years after that, along came the Holy Spirit. Pentecost, a few weeks ago. All the excitement of the Spirit appearing. And we've got it departmentalized in our mind. God the Father, creator here. Then down here comes Jesus. And then further down here comes the Spirit. Well, no, we've got it wrong. Because here we are, at the very beginning, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And, oh, look who appears. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. He was there at the beginning. We've just read that the Word was there at the very beginning. So Jesus was there. You may remember when Joseph discovered Mary was pregnant and panic set in. After he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the earth at the very beginning. The Word, Jesus, was there at the very beginning. And here we have the Holy Spirit involved just before the birth of Jesus. What we've got is a most wonderful, and I don't like using this word, but it's such an easy one that makes sense to us, sort of package of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but they are one. And I'm not embarrassed to use this illustration, but it's one that is so simple to me, because our mind can't take this in. It can't take it in, the Trinity. But there we have some water. Put it in the fridge overnight, we have some ice. Put it in a kettle the next morning and boil it, we have steam. Have we got three things? Have we got one thing? I apologise for the simplicity of the illustration, but it does give us just a feel that the three are one. It's the same substance. We haven't put any chemical in it overnight. It's that same substance that is a fluid, is liquid, then becomes solid as ice, and then becomes steam. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Word, Jesus, are one package. They were all there on day one, before the earth was formed. Before the earth was formed, God, Holy Spirit, Jesus formed the earth. They created. And right the way through time, and here we are today, we have God the Father, we have the Son, who we now know, because again, as this passage tells us, came and lived amongst us, and the Spirit. And Simon was praying just before, and we're going to come onto this in a moment, the way the Spirit is our, amongst many other things, comforter. All present then at the very beginning. I'm just for a moment going to stray onto ground that is very sensitive, but it struck me as I was preparing for this morning. Our mighty minds, and we are clever, but let's put this against the context of the God of creation, of the Spirit, of the work of Jesus Christ. We're in a different league, aren't we? And it just struck me that we, over these last few weeks, have had a number of deaths in our church, but just thinking of dear little Sebastian, who we agonized over, and we've all got the question, why, Lord? Why? Because my human mind says that a child who's a few months old shouldn't die. Why? And at the other end of the scale, we had dear Dennis, a wonderful, wonderful man of God, into his 80s, and I didn't hear the question, why? What one heard was a celebration. Thanks be to God for the life of a wonderful man. Why? Because our mind said, once you're getting well into your 80s, well, it makes sense. It makes sense that you die, that you go to be with the Lord. But when you're a few months old, that doesn't make sense. That's our mind. But let's contrast that with the mighty God of creation, who looks over everything and has done from the beginning of time, from before time began. And I can just imagine him saying, oh, dear people, you're lovely people, but please, the incidents you're talking about are incidents I'm in complete control of. The day will come where we will meet with God and we will say, yes, of course, I never thought about that. Well done, God. But in the meantime, we agonize, don't we? Why? Why does this happen? But let's just contrast it with the mighty God. The mighty God. Let's move on to the other little section in this chapter, where we find in 1 John chapter 1, God is light. In him there's no darkness. If we claim we have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. The light. Just a couple of weeks ago, not the first time in my life, but haven't fortunately had it happen very often, got stuck in a lift. Dear chap was had a group of us there, and he was saying, yes, come on, one more, cramming us into the lift. The brave one said, oh, we'll walk. And up we went, and before we got to where we should, the lift shuddered to a halt. And it was quite amusing at the time, because it was the middle of the day, and we bashed on the door and rang the bell, and we knew somebody had come and rescue us. Though it was a bit irksome when he came along and said, how many are in the lift? And we said, 8. And he said, there should only be 7. And he's the one who jammed us in just 30 seconds earlier. But anyway, I tell the story because all of a sudden the lights went out. And we were in this lift, complete blackness. Couldn't even find the button to press for the alarm bell. We fear darkness. We fear death. And what is Jesus? Jesus is light and Jesus is life. The two great things we fear, Jesus is there to balance those out completely. There's various streets in Kingston that I would just think twice about walking in at night time. I love the city and I'm very happy to walk around all day. But you just think twice. The darkness is something one questions. We've already mentioned this morning, I'm very privileged and very fortunate. I've never had a time of real despair. I've had moments I could have well done without in my life, but the blackness that people talk about, I just felt in a dark room there was no way out. And then we talk about having light at the end of the tunnel. Light comes just to pierce the darkness. That is the role of Jesus Christ. The Word, there from the very beginning, is the light. And as we look to him, so the light drives out darkness. People talk about a light coming into life. How often have you heard that? A little baby appears on the scene and light comes into my life. The beauty, the miracle of that birth, light. Light and life, darkness. But the darkness cannot overcome the light. The darkness cannot overcome the light. I just want to finish this morning with a story which I think I've told before, but it's one that kept on ringing in my mind as I was looking at these verses today. It was a lovely guy in his early 30s, Jerry. He'd spent over half of his life either in juvenile correction centres or in prison. He'd never had a job. He was a professional pickpocket. And his pitch on this particular morning was the Oval Tube Station. And about 9:45, his morning's work was over. The commuters had gone. And I now relay what he said to me, and I'll just tell you in a moment why I came into this. He said, you know, sir, my life was in a hell of a mess. It was black. There was no way out. And he said, you know what I did? I walked across the road. Do you know there's a big church just opposite the tube station there, which is St. Mark's Kennington, a great, lovely old church. And he said, I knocked on the door and said, is the vicar in? And he was. Now, he said, I now know, sir, that was the work of the Spirit of God. There was the vicar. And I went to him and I said, vicar, my life's in a hell of a mess. Where do I go? What do I do? And I described my situation to him. And he led me to Jesus. And I've never picked another pocket since. I haven't committed a crime since. And this was 4 or 5 months down the line. His wife, who was a dancer at the Playboy Club, had also become a Christian. I got involved because he'd never worked before, didn't know what work was, and wondered what he might do, and got a stall on Brixton Market. And the amusing thing was he said, you know, sir, I had to employ somebody to protect my stock. People nicked it. And I had to smile as well, and he saw the joke, though he wasn't terribly happy about it. I got involved because somebody told him he ought to join tax, and he'd never joined tax before. That wasn't part of his thinking, but now he felt that tax ought to come into it. I tell that story because there was a man who was completely black. There was no way forward. He was in a life of crime. His whole family was a dysfunctional family in jail. One of the family is still in jail, I think, having committed murder. The Spirit of God, I know what it was, sir. It was the Spirit that took me to the vicar, and he was in, and he led me to Jesus. The Spirit of God, the Word of God. At the end of that chapter that Anne read a moment ago, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And it's the challenge for us today, as one looks at the vastness of the eternity, the magnificence of God, and yet there is the ability for us, all who received him, to those who believed in his name, that's where many of us in this church are this morning, he gave the right to become children of God. We have the ability to slot in, to connect with the Word, the Spirit, the Creator. And that lovely last verse in this chapter, the Word became flesh. He made his dwelling among us. Jesus came and lived amongst us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Not only did he come to save us from the mess we are in, he came to illustrate to us a life that should be lived, a life full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the magnificence of your word. Thank you that that very humble fisherman was able to write these magnificent words. Thank you that we have the ability, through your Spirit, to link up with the mighty Trinity, with you the Father, with the Son, with the Spirit. Father, you want us. And we pray that we may look to you and realize that it's the way out. The darkness is conquered by the light. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.